Today's Mishnayos in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Yud Tet, HaMefarek Et HaMita, Mishnah Beit. All right, so we've been discussing over here the din of the ropes on the bed, and in a strange similarity to the issues of our Mishnah, the question was how much of unnecessary rope is considered to be part of the bed in order to be able to be Mekabel Tuma of Midras. So now let's talk about this case where we're not talking about a guy who knotted one rope to another rope and all of that thing. We're talking about a regular bed. You finished doing the back and forth through the holes that were in the sideboards, and now you tie the rope at the end, and that's always going to leave a little bit of rope hanging at the knot. So there is, of course, the issue of its being yadot over here, if it serves in some way to help the bed or to help you handle the bed, so then the yad is going to both be machnis tuma and be motzi tuma. So what would be the din of a chevel hayotze min amita? So ad chamisha tfachim tahor. If it's up to five tfachim, it doesn't really serve the purpose because you can't really use it in any way, just five tefachim, doesn't help you to handle a bed. But if it's between five and ten tefachim, it's useful, as we're going to talk about. If it's more than ten tefachim, then it again becomes anything beyond the ten tefachim. You see the similarity to the sugya that we had in Shabbos. Anything beyond ten tefachim is yiterata, and therefore it's not considered to be a yad, and because of that, it will not become tameh. What indeed is the part from 5 to 10 that's considered to be a yad? For what purpose? Well, one thing, as everybody knows, one of the best things you do with your bed rope is you tie your carbon Pesach to it. That's a pasuk, right? Yisru chag ba'avotim ad karnot ha-mizbeach. And that was referring to this Mishnah in Kelim, of course. And because of that, we just had the experience of tying our carbon Pesach to our bed and even Yisru Chag, look at that. So it's good for that. There may be a little bit less esoteric functions. For instance, you know, if you want to move the bed and lower it from your porch to the porch underneath or whatever, or even better, if you want to lower the bed into a mikveh. How do you lower a bed into a mikveh without breaking your back? Very simple. You use the yad, and therefore the rope that's sticking out makes an excellent yad up to 10 tefachim, and because of that, it's mekabel tuma as yodais hakelim. Mishnah Gimel. Okay, we talked about the rope. Now let's talk about a modern Hebrew word that is based on this Mishnah, but is not an accurate way to read the Mishnah. As you know, in modern Hebrew, we call, instead of using the words karav keset, the way originally we would refer to a mattress or bedding that you put underneath, the word that we have for a mattress, which is a new idea, is a mizron. The word mizron comes from this Mishnah. But the original meaning of a mizran was a band that you would wrap around the mita, around all four sides, tightly. And that kept it together so you wouldn't get a lot of squeaking from your bed and so on. Ah, thank you. Very nice. Appreciate it. So that piece, that band, is the equivalent to the mizron. Because in a way, I mean, if you think about it, a mizron basically is something that is held in place with the bedding built in inside. So it's not a crazy use of the word mizron. So this would be the Mizran. Thanks. You can stop sharing now. Thank you very much, Calvin. Ari. And because of that, it's not the same either as the case of the rope. So if you are Mizran, ayotze men amita, it doesn't matter how long it is. Kol shehu, as opposed to the rope, it is always useful. Because basically, as much Mizran as you have, the guy could ultimately use it to pull tighter, stick it in under the other part of the Mizran, and we don't consider it to be not part of the bed, as opposed to the earlier Mishnah that we had about ropes. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's basically the same idea. It's good and useful up to 10 tefachim, because it's only going to be useful for the idea of being mamish part of the bed. Now, this is a different issue. What Rabbi Yossi is worried about over here is the question of whether it has a din of the bed, not the gabi kabbalah's tuma, but the gabi tuma's midras. That's the issue. So to say that something is going to be makabal tuma because it's a kli, that's all very nice. But a kli is not makabal tuma's midras if it isn't a kli for sleeping on. Now, the mizran itself is not meant for sleeping on. So then that would mean that only the part of the mizran that is truly necessary and part of the bed is going to be makabal tumas midras. Now, it may very well be true what you're saying, that it's not just a piece of junk that you're going to cut off and it still has a din of a kli, or maybe a yad for other purposes, but that won't give it a din of tumas midras. It'll give it a din of tuma bi'alma. So because of that, it might be makabal tuma. I'm not arguing with Rabbi Meir about that. But it is not part of the bed, and because of that, it is not going to be makabel tumas midras. Okay, so how much is necessary for it to be a shirayim, if it like broke or it tore, whatever? How much of it is still a useful mizran? Remember, these are called shirayim. So shiarei mizran, leftovers or remainders of a mizran, where it broke or tore, in order for it to become tameh, it has to at least be usable as a kli. Now, obviously, it's not usable anymore as a kli for the bed, but there are things that you can use it for, such as kedei la'asoto chevek lechamor. You can have this mizran, which is thick and strong, to put it as a piece, like a scarf around the back of a donkey, along the back of a donkey, which protects the donkey from getting chilled on a cold day. So if it's 7 tefachim, then it's considered to be a kli. But if it's less than 7 tefachim, what exactly are you going to use it for? It's completely useless, because then it will not be mekabel tuma at all. Now, we had a machlokas, therefore, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, about the din of tumas midras. According to Rabbi Yossi, only the first 10 tefachim of a mizran that are extend beyond the absolute requirement for keeping the bed together are considered to be part of the mizran vis-a-vis tumas midras. So now, let's take a look at the machlokas to make it clear that this is what we understand. Suppose a zav was nisa, zav al hamita, v'al ha-mizran. So this zav sits down on a bed, and there is a mizran around. And then there's also this extension. So the deal would be that then he's metameh shnayim, because remember that in this case, as we saw in this week's parsha, yesterday's leining, what's the din? The bed itself becomes an av hatuma, because it becomes a mishkav to the zav. And therefore he's metameh shnayim. The bed is an av hatuma, and so is the mizran. And an av hatuma can be metameh something, even a kli, even an odah, to make it a rishon latuma, which can then turn around and make a sheni latuma, and that sheni latuma can pasul truma. So he's basically metame two levels down from the av into the rishon, from the rishon to the sheni, and then he can pasul a shlish. So says Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, I don't care how big that mizran is, it's going to be mekabel avatuma. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mashenken, Rabbi Yossi says, if the Zav lied down on this bed and on the Mizran, only the first 10 tefachim of the Mizran are going to be Metami Shnayim Uposel Echad. But the rest of the Mizran, despite the fact that it's a Kli and it's Mekabel Tuma, cannot be considered a Mishkav Azav. And therefore, anything beyond Asorah Velachutz is only Metami Echad Uposel Echad. It never became an Avatuma. It only became a Rishon Latuma from touching the part of the Mizran that was part of the bed. And a Rishon can make a Sheni, it can make a, and a Sheni can make a Shlishi. Now, suppose the Zav lies down on that extra piece of the Mizran and the rest of the Mizran and not on the bed. So then, if it's within the inner part of the tent, Tefachim Yasar V'Lifnim, that is considered to be part of a bed, and a bed is Roy L'Mishkav. Masha'in Kem Yasar L'Chutz, it's completely Tahar. Because over there, he didn't touch it to be matami. He just lied down on it, never came into contact with his skin. And since it's not roy to be mekabel tumas mishkav, it isn't mekabel tuma whatsoever if he lies on that part. So this really clarifies exactly what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir were arguing about.